Good morning, this is Bishop Phoebe Rowe of the Episcopal Diocese of West Tennessee, and welcome to Faithfully Memphis. We broadcast live on Thursday mornings from WYXR 91.7 FM out of Crosstown Concourse in Memphis. And each week we have the opportunity to talk with an amazing guest to learn more about their faith and their ministry and how God is working in their life. So we always start the show with the saint of the day, and tomorrow, which is January the 6th, is actually a major feast of the church, which is the Feast of the Epiphany. Now, for those of you who are listening who aren't part of a liturgical tradition, just a reminder that for Episcopalians and liturgical denominations, Christmas is not a day. It's actually a season, the 12 days of Christmas. And following Christmas is the season of Epiphany, which falls right before the season of Lent. This year, Epiphany is actually seven weeks long. And the name Epiphany is derived from a Greek word meaning manifestation or the appearing. And so it has to do with the appearing of Jesus among us in human form. Documents indicate that at the end of the second century in Egypt, there was the first Christian observance of the Epiphany on January the 6th. So this is a feast that has been celebrated by the church for quite a while. And it actually combines commemorations of three events that were considered to be manifestations of Jesus incarnate, which was the visit of the Magi, led by, of course, the star over Bethlehem, letting them know where the Christ child was in the manger. Second would be the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River by his cousin John. And that is actually the feast that we will be celebrating this Sunday, the baptism of Jesus on Sunday, January the 8th. And the third is Jesus's first recorded miracle, the changing of water into wine at the wedding of Cana. And we may pick up on that during our conversation with our guest in a few minutes, because last year at Calvary's Lenten program, she preached about that. But anyway, I digress. Epiphany customs include house blessings and also removing your Christmas decorations if they are still up. On the eve of the Epiphany, burning live trees and other greenery is often done. And so for those of you in the Shelby County area, just a reminder that on January the 7th, this Saturday at 5 p.m., St. Mary's Cathedral, located at 700 Poplar Avenue, is going to have a Feast of Life service in honor of the Epiphany. And so after the service at 5 p.m., there will be a bonfire in the parking lot. So if you still have your Christmas tree or wreaths or other Christmas greens and you'd like to dispose of them in an environmental way, I guess, feel free to bring your Christmas greens to add to the bonfire this Saturday, January the 7th at 5 p.m. at St. Mary's Cathedral in Memphis. So the prayer that is assigned for the Feast of the Epiphany is as follows. O God, by the leading of a star, you manifested your only Son to the peoples of the earth. Lead us, who know you now by faith, to your presence, where we may see your glory face to face, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So we are back in the studio, And the song that we heard was actually a song that was recommended by our guest this morning. And we are really pleased to have in the studio with us the Reverend Dr. Roz Nichols. She is our first guest of the new year on this new series about the future of the church. Roz is the founding pastor of Freedom's Chapel Christian Church in Memphis, and she's also the interfaith officer for Metropolitan Interfaith Association, or MIFA. And she is a native Memphian, a graduate of Lemoyne Owen College from right here in Memphis, with an MDiv from Memphis Theological Seminary, and then a Doctor of Ministry from Virginia Union University, I guess the Samuel Proctor of Theology in Richmond. And I learned when I was doing a little bit of research that one of the guiding purposes of her life is how to define, practice, and preach what it means to love. So, Roz, good morning. Welcome to Faithfully Memphis.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
It's great to have you. So, you and I have had conversations offline during the COVID pandemic about the impact of all of this on the church. And I know that there are some faithful folk who long to go back to where we were in March of 2020. And it doesn't seem like that's what's going to happen.
No, it doesn't feel like that.
And so I wonder, to start off the conversation, what were some of the things that you had seen as really needing to be addressed by the church even before COVID, that COVID has really just brought to light?
Right. That's right. We talk about, well, early at the beginning of this, I remember, and I've shared this, but there was a report on CBS Sunday Morning in which a gentleman was talking about malls and about huge malls, right, and how they were fading away. And the reporter asked, did COVID cause, well, we called it coronavirus at that time, right? Did the coronavirus cause this? And he immediately said, no, 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 it just accelerated. COVID is not a change agent, it's an accelerant. So to that degree, as I've said now for what feels like an eternity, is that for over 2,000 years, we have said the church is not a building.
Yes, we
I mean, we would go in on Sunday mornings. We would preach that and teach that, that you are the church. You know, the little thing is, here's the church and it's the steeple and everything. And this season, this pandemic has required us to truly examine what that really looks like. Right. And so issues around buildings and the requirements of maintaining property has been an issue. What does bivocational preaching, pastoral relationships, what does that really look like in real time because of those shifts? How do we attend to older members who may or may not be able to come to church, but stay connected and accessible, all of these things. And what does it mean to be, what does it truly mean to be community under the name of church in the name of Jesus? All of those things have been tossed out there for us to truly look at.
And any one of those things can almost appear to be overwhelming if you are either a lay leader or a member of the clergy. Being asked to navigate some sort of uncharted waters. As we think back on our days in seminary, were we prepared for
not
any
at all? You could go back and say, we need to change this whole curriculum because but we were indeed trained to do the work of helping people to process and navigate big terms like theology and Christology. When you break that down, it means, how am I in relationship with God and with humanity and with myself? And we have been required in a deeper level to really examine that. What does this really mean? Can I be virtually truly a community? And as I'm virtually really community, then I'm no longer just locally, I'm no longer nationally. That means that when I would say on Sunday morning, the Christian Church Disciples of Christ as an affirmation of faith. Anywhere in the world at any given time, we're mm-hmm. all saying this.
Mm-hmm.
Virtually meant, oh, no, really?
Yes.
We really are. Somebody is taking this Holy Communion in China while I'm sitting here. We literally are more of a global community. And how do you then feel that? We're still mm-hmm. struggling to figure out, how do I at a distance really feel connected, mm-hmm. right? And so I think that it's ice age change to me.
Yes.
Right? And so
yes.
for that reason, you can either be a dinosaur, and we know what happened. They went extinct, right? Because
right.
they didn't shift. Or you can turn into those little ants that were on the ground and say, well, let's just go find somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
That's what I feel.
So you mentioned Disciples of Christ, and that is your denomination. And I wonder, for the church of the future, you know, I think when we were girls growing up, denominations were pretty significant.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Denominational affiliation.
That's right.
And one of the things, it seems as if moving into the church of the future, the denominational label on the front of the building will not be as significant. What are your thoughts about sort of these denominational structures mm-hmm. that we have been ordained into mm-hmm. and almost commissioned to uphold, in a sense?
Yep, I agree. And again, I don't think this was something that manifested solely in this season.
Right.
I was raised Baptist, mm-hmm. in which would have been the Progressive Baptist Convention.
Right.
Right. And at 21, I left and became a part of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ and Mississippi Boulevard.
Yes.
Pastor Jackson, Alvin O'Neill Jackson, was there. And what was significant, and that's the late 80s, early 90s,
mm-hmm.
was that people who had been raised Disciples of Christ would walk or be a part, who had been a member of Mississippi Boulevard, saw the shift in what was a traditionally disciple look, feel, and experience mm-hmm. to something more disconcerting for them. Like, we don't do this. We're not.
Right.
That's not. And that you could walk in the Boulevard at any given Sunday and you may have felt Baptist, you may have felt Pentecostal, you may mm-hmm. the pastors that followed Pastor Jackson. So I say that again, these are things that have been shifting. People mm-hmm. don't care, right? My
right.
brother at New Direction, there are folks who believe him to be non-denominational.
Right.
Right? Because
Dr. Stacy Spencer,
Dr.
for
Stacey
our
Lynn
listeners.
Spencer. That's
yes.
right. Mm-hmm. That's right. That I would have to say, no, we're all in the same denomination. No, we're not, right? It's
yes.
that. So those things do not matter to people like they did when our grandparents and parents
right.
were, I was born this way and I'm going to live this way.
I'm going to die this way.
I'm going to die this way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that no longer is really
yeah.
significant. Which I think the tension in that is that you need order and structure. You mm-hmm. need parameters. You need boundaries. And denominations have given us that, a sense of identity.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you evolve that into the larger so you don't get siloed?
Right.
But you realize ultimately we're all connected, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the conversation spiritually and literally
yeah.
that we're having. Yeah.
Yeah. And for those of us called to uphold these denominational structures, you know, you almost feel in a sense as if you are asked to hold things lightly.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
To allow the Spirit to really infuse perhaps
yep.
denominations in a different way.
Yes. Yes. Right. I think of the bishop that we are mourning, the Catholic bishop that we are mourning, the loss, who just recently passed.
Pope Benedict, who
has been described over the last few days as hardline conservative.
Very much so,
right?
Yes.
And then in order to shift to someone who is far
Pope
more,
Francis,
right?
Yes.
Right. When you just smile when you say his name.
Yes.
And yet you need both and.
Correct.
Right? There's this both and we tend in church life, I think, and please challenge this, to be one or the other.
We do.
I'm either this or I'm that. When I think the body of Christ in this season in the life of the church mm-hmm. is embracing that, and to survive, we have to be both. We have to lean toward how can I be both and, right?
Mm-hmm.
How can I be true to who I am and where I've come, and yet also embrace that that's not the only way that I can experience this journey, or that other people will experience this journey with me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. I think that's where we are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As people of faith, you know, we have our Holy Scripture.
Yeah.
And one of the things about all three Abrahamic faith traditions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, is we all have these texts, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you given any thought to what we might gain from Holy Scripture to help us navigate this particular era that we find ourselves in? Because it does occur to me that there really is nothing new under the sun, right?
That's right.
And we tend to think that this is the first time, but as you mm-hmm. go and look back over the generations, this really isn't the first time that the church has been challenged mm-hmm. to live into something new. And I'm remembering the book, The Great Emergence, by mm-hmm. Phyllis Tickle, mm-hmm. who was mm-hmm. a Memphian. Mm-hmm. And her premise was roughly every 500 or so years, there was a significant shift in the church. And mm-hmm. so roughly at the year 1000, the division from one church,
right,
to the Eastern Orthodox and the Roman Catholic.
Yes.
And then roughly in the year 1500, the Protestant Reformation. Mm-hmm. And now, sort of 500 years later, mm-hmm. here we are again mm-hmm. on the precipice mm-hmm. of another significant transformation.
Mm-hmm.
So are there passages of Scripture that you are relying upon to help you as a pastor and a faith leader?
I think that, I kind of think in terms of not specific scriptures, but
yes.
just evolutions. So when I think of even what we call Old Testament, First Covenant,
yes.
right?
The Hebrew Scriptures.
The Hebrew Scriptures, right? That anchor all three of, mm-hmm. right? But the whole wilderness experience to me
yes.
is what I see, is
yes.
what I'm living. For instance,
yes.
you pray for something, right? You pray to come out of something.
Yes.
Right? In this case, the children pray to come mm-hmm. out of bondage. Well, you think you come out of bondage and you're just going to get to wherever the next place is. And really, the answer to your prayer is 40 years in the wilderness. Now, we can
right.
interpret that whatever kind of way.
Correct.
But the answer is found in wilderness, in which you have to reexamine, who is God? What am I asking God? And mm-hmm. and God in that journey is also examining, who are you people? And
yes.
why do I want to
fool
you?
So it's a mutual discernment.
It's a mutual
almost.
Discernment.
Yes.
And we as leaders in some ways are Moses or Aaron, or we are also trying to figure out, what do we hear God say to us?
Mm-hmm.
How do we communicate that with the people and yet still be real flesh and blood with these people?
Yes.
Right? And help them to be themselves with this mm-hmm. God. And that is what's sacred.
Yes.
Not the, and that there's some, again, mobility to it,
mm-hmm.
that it is not fixed. And then when I leap into our covenant and the walk with Jesus, you see how Jesus, for me, took what was sacred and foundational in his own community around mm-hmm. faith, and then expanded it. So rather than the letter of the law, we talk about the spirit of
yes.
the law, right? And how does the spirit guide us? And so it's that kind of contextual
mm-hmm.
Analysis that helps me. And then to say, to take it further, that we are to do greater, right? Because Jesus said, I'm going back to the Father. You will do greater than me.
Right.
We sometimes think numerically. We sometimes think,
mm-hmm.
but I just think it means that we have the space to expand.
Yes.
Right. And push the boundaries, which we've been doing, but we are called to do it more intentionally
mm-hmm.
and to be conscious of it, not just nice.
Right. right.
But what does this truly mean
mm-hmm.
to live this faith for one who for me was creating a movement, again, of that huge shift,
mm-hmm.
that huge shift of how you stay true to what this relationship is and yet give it space to grow and evolve
mm-hmm.
and not feel like you have somehow destroyed it, right?
Right.
But he said, I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
Right.
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 But fulfilling does sometimes feels like destruction.
It does.
Sometimes
yeah.
feeling does.
And how do you give thanks for what has been.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And move into the future, not as a rejection.
That's right.
Or a condemnation or a judgment of the past.
That's right.
But to realize that what is called for in this particular time and season mm-hmm. is something different.
It's something different. That, and for those of us who do follow Jesus, that really is, to me, the essence of what mm-hmm. we do, right?
Yes.
That is, I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
Okay, yes.
So, but now the fulfillment looks like we're not going to go eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth.
Right.
Right. We're going to try to figure out how to turn the other cheek or offer mm-hmm. our coat, but not also lose ourselves in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. That for me, Jesus could be completely true to his Jewish roots and identity, all of that, and yet also embrace an expansion of what that looks like, mm-hmm. right? That's circumcision of the heart, right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Not,
and even be willing to look at scriptures and say, yeah, you know, this feels blasphemous to some, but yeah, that I don't think that's really how we're going to apply that today.
Yeah.
Right? Right?
Yeah.
That we are going to figure out ultimately how Jesus was bringing people in,
mm-hmm.
not to a denomination, but to an experience with God,
mm-hmm.
right?
A relationship
with God, right?
Yeah.
Right? And you may be Samaritan, or you may be Black, or you may be, but what's your relationship?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is what we are being pushed.
Yeah.
To really think about if we want to. And then, you know,
yeah.
some folks say, like, no, I'm
right
here.
So what sorts of tools do we need as faith leaders, lay and ordained, in our toolkit?
Yes.
To navigate yeah. this evolving structure, whatever it is that
organism.
Yeah, great. Yes, organism.
Organism, yeah.
Yes.
Yes. I want to start by saying, I think if you can invite people in a kind of Howard Thurman mystical kind of way.
Can you, for some of our listening audience who may be unfamiliar with Howard Thurman, can you just sort of give a brief summary of this amazing American mystic, 20th century mystic?
Oh my goodness. So Howard, the Reverend Dr. Howard
yes.
Thurman is why I stayed in seminary, right? The whole idea that you meet people at the level of where they are, and mm-hmm. the whole idea that there are any number of so a Buddhist can make a Christian better because in the exchange, they each grow to understand. That's the kind of Howard Thurman
yes.
is. Of course, the books of Jesus and the Disinherited
yes.
and the idea that you meet people on edges or margins or wherever they are and mm-hmm. you receive them. Another one that grabs me is you will know the truth and the truth will
set
right?
you free.
I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
No one comes
yeah.
to the Father. And that we have traditionally used that text in many places to exclude. I just
yes.
had that last September after I did a prayer. That's another conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But that we have used that text to say, we're in, you're out. You need to come
mm-hmm.
over here. You go,
mm-hmm.
right? But the Reverend Dr. Mystic Howard Thurman would say, wherever you see truth, you see the Christ.
Yes.
Right? So my Buddhist brothers, my Jewish brothers, my Hindu.
Hindu, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Right. Right.
And so that's a tool. That's what I think. You need to at least be willing to have what Jesus had with the Samaritan woman who was family that you fell out with, that you ain't
yes.
talked to, and you just create. But you stand there knowing that everybody says, we're not supposed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be. I think faith leaders in this world have to be willing to go against the we're not supposed to do that part.
Mm-hmm.
You may hold on to it later, but
yeah.
you're examining why and not just a knee jerk, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not just a automatic. I think that's crucial. And I do think being in conversation with others
yes.
who have spiritual practice or no spiritual practice, the way we define it, to help us to make certain that we are resonating both for ourselves,
mm-hmm.
like, am I being true to what I say? Am
mm-hmm.
I really thinking this through? As well as to embrace that there are folks who are different from us,
mm-hmm.
but they are still, for us, they are still children of God and therefore require that we treat them as such.
Yeah.
That's core to me.
It's making me think about a conversation that Emily Austin, our producer, and I had last year with Father Val Handworker, who is a very beloved local Roman Catholic priest.
Yes.
And the purpose of him being on the show, and he and one of his associates, was to talk about Pope Francis's initiative to invite every Roman Catholic congregation to be in conversation with members of the community, including non-Catholics, about how we're going to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that speaks so much to the Pope's understanding that we have to be in conversation with people beyond our own silos. And and we almost are in, this dichotomy of an expansion in some senses because of social media and technology, but also a limitation because it's up to us to decide, am I only going to listen to people who agree with me and interact with people who agree with me, or am I going to listen more broadly and really expand the conversation partners?
And don't you feel like that is, that was for me the gift of seminary?
Yes.
Is the creation of safe spaces to do that. I still say this today when people ask me about seminary, is if you go out, if you go in and come out the same way, then you didn't do the work, and the seminary didn't do the work for you. Because my first semester, I took Christian beliefs, and I came out, and I was working in the Civil Rights Museum at the time, and somebody said, well, how was class? And I said, well, I used to know who Jesus was, but I just don't even really know anymore. On the cross and God and all. So I think the invitation to do that, and as for the Pope to lead us in that, also tells me that God gives us leaders in the seasons that we need them.
That's correct. That's right.
Whether we like them or not,
that's
they're
right.
requiring
that's right.
something
that's right.
of us that we wouldn't otherwise, right?
Yes.
And so even in the tension of it, right? So that is a gift to us. The church, Catholic means universal, we're supposed to
Small C, right?
Small C, right? And yet we also have leaders who are pushing us to reexamine in what feels like a very destructive way, right? To pick a side. Like there's this tension of the Pope saying, no, we need to be in conversation with everybody. And then a world is saying, no, it's either this or that.
Right.
And in that middle is where we are called as local leaders to help people stand in that space.
Yeah.
And you cannot do it in silos. You have to do it in community. Yeah.
One of the things that has been a real blessing for me in the 4 years that I've been in Memphis, which, you know, is a relatively short period of time, is that there are very strong relationships among faith leaders of all traditions. And it's a gracious community. I mean, if you pick up the phone and call a faith leader of another tradition, nine times out of 10, your phone call is answered.
Yes, yes, I agree. And it's one of the things that I love about my hometown is that historically, even as far back as the 1920s in Memphis, there were clergy members across denominations or faith traditions, right? So the relationship between Rabbi Wax, for instance, and Reverend Dr. Starks in Memphis, Tennessee, and the work, because the thing that brought them together was about justice and equity.
Correct.
And that predates their relationship.
Correct.
So that there's historical some, and that has even evolved,
right?
That those men may have, may not at the time embrace women or other faith traditions, but that they gave a space to evolve.
Yes.
Right? And so I agree with you. From seminary days to now, I have had relationship with Rabbi Micah Greenstein in Temple Israel. He's my friend, beloved, and Temple is as well. There are relationships that have grown out of that. And I can't truly understand my Christian faith without understanding the roots of my Christian.
Of course,
faith,
because the one that we worship and serve was born a faithful Jew, lived a faithful Jew, died a faithful Jew. As far as we know, was never trying to start a whole new denomination.
No, was never trying to do that. Was actually being true to who he understood himself to be and understood his community to be. And so those kind of relationships, and to watch Micah build those relationships was an invitation as well. And then just knowing in the work around justice for me,
yes,
that was always integrated. The people right. that I knew in my community who were African-American doing justice work were doing it in relationship with those who were not African-American.
Right.
And so I don't understand how you do that mm-hmm. apart from.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, even your earlier comment in the conversation about what is our relationship with this physical space mm-hmm. that we all have in our churches and mosques and synagogues and yeah. temples that we're called to be good stewards of? You know, if the Episcopal diocese is having a conversation and the Roman Catholic diocese and Kojic and yeah. the Methodist and the Presbyterian, I mean, you know, I wonder, is there wisdom in all of us
yes.
who are navigating what to do with this excess space almost
yes.
to be in conversation together.
Yes, yes. And how can we actually embrace these spaces in ways? So during the pandemic, my building, the building Freedom's Chapel, we are not in that building mm-hmm. because it needs major repair.
Correct.
Right? And yet what it gives us the opportunity to do is to examine and re-examine what we do with space.
Right.
What does Freedom's Chapel need? And a part of what has grown out of that is how do we, and we're not unique, we see it everywhere mm-hmm. now, how do we share space with others, and we both have the gift of community and relationship. So, in you know, if you dream a big world, then you could have a space where on Friday you may have mm-hmm. prayer, on yep. Saturday you may yep. have, right? On Sunday you may have,
looks
right?
different.
That's yep. right. It all looks different, but it's all housed in one space. My house will be a house for all people, right?
Yes.
A house of prayer for all people.
Yes.
What does that really,
yes.
how do you get there? And I just think it's a wonderful time to be a part of mm-hmm. faith, traditions, and community. It's exciting.
It
to
is
me.
Exciting.
It is. Unless you're fixed on it's this or that. And
yes.
we are being pushed to not be fixed, to have the language I keep hearing everywhere I go is this growth mindset. Like,
yeah.
How can you be a little bit more fluid
mm-hmm.
and still feel very true to who you are?
Yeah.
Like, I don't ever feel that I am not sincerely a person who is a disciple of Christ, not a denomination, but
correct.
I follow Jesus.
Right.
yeah. For better or for worse. But that doesn't mean that I cannot also support and understand someone who follows
yeah.
differently. Right.
And we're kind of modeling this, right? Because the Barth House College Chaplaincy Yay. On the campus of the University of Memphis, we don't, college students aren't up early on Sunday mornings. And so that is a time that our space isn't really used regularly. And so your congregation
so
is going to be temporarily meeting in that space.
That's it.
Yeah.
On Sunday of January.
Yeah.
Oh, Bishop Phoebe, we're so excited.
Yeah.
And the space is what we're talking about.
Right.
How you all have created the space
yes.
is in itself inclusive.
Yes.
So it's just the way that we are all moving. And there's but one Spirit, and I believe she
yes.
speaks everywhere.
Yes.
And what I heard Steven Spielberg once say is that our responsibility is to catch the ideas
mm-hmm.
that God is always communicating,
yes.
right? And that
yes.
we, you know, you catch
yes.
these ideas, and that when you catch them, you see them kind of being evidenced everywhere,
mm-hmm.
right? In the middle of the pandemic, there were two synagogue congregations worshiping in one space
yes.
together. There are places where you go out of necessity and you may have
mm-hmm.
what the Barth House has created, mm-hmm. space for multiple experiences.
Yep.
Yep. That's everywhere. So it feels like a wave.
Mm-hmm.
And you catch God's wave
mm-hmm.
or you get left.
Yeah.
Right? And that's where we are right now. And grateful for it. Very grateful
yeah.
for it. Yeah, sincerely.
Yeah. And you sort of wonder for, you know, to think about the signs of vital, healthy congregations.
Uh-huh.
Will the signs of health look different
uh-huh.
in the future moving forward?
Oh, I think so.
You know, certainly in my denomination, I think a traditional sign of health was a freestanding physical plant. And every church had a full-time priest and pastor
yeah.
who spent much of his or her time devoted to, right, the needs of the members of that congregation. Mm-hmm. And as population changes have occurred, right, as the membership of the Episcopal Church has declined starting in the 60s, again, right, this isn't something that started with COVID. Mm-mm. We no longer can sustain one full-time priest in every single church building. You know, mm-hmm, we were built at our height. We probably had 3.5 million Episcopalians, mm-hmm, in the United States. Mm-hmm. We're down to 1.4 million.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But we've got all these structures,
that's right,
that were built to house double the number of people.
That's right. That's right. Double the number of people, and in seasons when we were younger. It's also fascinating,
yes,
to me to watch. I can look at a building and say, yeah, they were young when they built that.
Yes.
Because you see stairs and you see,
oh, yeah,
right, all of these things that as not only the church ages, but the membership ages, you have to make shifts. So I do, I think that, but I still go back to what does, that evolution does not have to be something that we resist, but something, mm-hmm, that we embrace.
Yes.
And what does, to your question of what does healthy look like?
Yes.
That we don't have to even try to figure it out, mm-hmm, you know, put, we don't have to lean in. Sometimes we are quick to want to fix stuff.
Right.
Right. Let me go in and,
right,
let me do this.
Right.
And one of the wise things that was said to me in seminary about going into churches, mm-hmm, existing congregations, is that you leave them alone for a minute.
Just
because you don't know what you should hold on to and,
exactly,
what you should discard. So I don't think we are enough on the other side to even turn around,
yes,
and look back. Right.
Yes.
We're pillars of salt. We just don't. Let's try to keep moving, mm-hmm, forward, or just stand still and observe what seems to be truly taking root.
Mm-hmm.
My backyard, I got rid of my pool and put some grass up,
uh-huh,
and right. And so you wait to see what is still going to generate after this hard, cold freeze and all that.
Yep.
I'll go in the sprague in the backyard and look and say, well, now that survived.
Mm-hmm.
And if it survived, let's see, is it life-giving?
Yeah.
Or is it something we need to kind of pluck up? And what does life-giving look, mm-hmm, like, right? Are the people, is it because you have numbers? Is,
mm-hmm,
it because you have money in the bank? Or is it because the folks that you see are like them, those men and women that followed Jesus early on? They were able to go on and,
mm-hmm,
move beyond him. He kept saying, I'm leaving y'all. You know, I got to get,
yeah,
out of here. But you're going to keep going. Have we helped people?
Mm-hmm.
Which means church membership may not look like I've been here, I was raised here, and,
exactly,
when I die, I'm going to leave here, right?
Yeah.
Shifts and moves don't have to be the end of the world for folks.
And it may have been that in an earlier era that was not as much of a transition, even your relationship with the congregation and God was, how can I describe it? You could sort of coast,
yeah,
because things were stable.
That's right.
And the era that we're in now, all of us,
mm-hmm,
lay and ordained,
mm-hmm,
are really being challenged to look within.
That's right.
To do analysis, mm-hmm, and self-reflection,
mm-hmm,
in a way that may not have been called for,
mm-hmm,
in an earlier period. And so maybe we've got some exercising of muscles that we haven't used in a while.
That's right. Another mystic, Richard Rohr, I read in
Devotionals,
yes, right? And here, right, in this season, he's talking about prophetic gifts.
Yes.
And one of the things that stands out for me is the idea is that some of these things have been predicted. The prophets have been,
yes,
speaking of where we are today forever.
Yes.
Right? And so now that what has been spoken is, it is an opportunity, once you hear the prophet, to discern how are you going to do, how are you going to deal with what, mm-hmm, you're hearing from environmental change,
yes,
and all of those things that are impacting the church, and to invite people to consider, who are you right now?
Mm-hmm.
And spiritually, it doesn't have to go far. Who do you want to be?
Right.
I'm asking, I came into this year asking myself and others, what is it that you, about yourself, that you want to expand?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And what is it that you want to pull back on so that you can be who you say you are and,
yeah,
and the person that you ascribe,
mm-hmm,
or identify as? Or what do you want to see spiritually?
Yes.
In a congregation, in a community? Spiritually, what do you want? Not I fed 12 people and we fed.
Right. That's right.
That's crucial.
Mm-hmm.
But at the level of the spirit is no. But who have we become?
Right.
Right. Which I don't think, I'm going to say that differently. I think requires very intimate connections and intimate connections that are not controlling, but that just are kind of give space for thriving and flourishing. What does that look like?
Right? Yeah.
I had a member, now this was pre-COVID and everything, went in the hospital, young person, and I went to visit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I checked back. I said, do you want me to come and pray for you?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, Pastor, I mean no disrespect, but I really, I think I can get a prayer through too.
Right? Okay. Yeah. Right?
I think I can.
Right.
So you don't have to come. But we have been, many of us have been raised that person represents this and I need
yes.
to call this person.
Yes.
Because, but what if we are raising up, other fellow disciples,
yes.
fellow followers who can say to their pastor, their priest, their whoever, you know, thank you. Right. But I can get a prayer through with no disrespect. So
That's
then
right.
what does my role become for that person?
Yes. So right? even the role of the pastor and priest is evolving.
That's it.
In this new season.
That's
and,
it.
And perhaps for some of us, who get our self-worth
that's right.
and our ego needs met
yeah,
by being this indispensable person,
yes.
we're called to be a different type of person.
That's right. We're called to be a different kind of partner, which I don't have children, but right. I would imagine that a part of raising children has required that you allow,
yes.
right? You're going to hold this child.
Yeah.
Here, but you give more and more space
yeah.
so that the child can fly on off, right?
Right. Ultimately, don't you want an independent young adult?
Don't you want?
But don't maybe want? Not everybody wants that.
No.
And maybe this will be a season where we've got to get real
That's
about
right.
what it is that we want.
That's right. What it is we want, what is we hear people,
yes.
what are their hearts saying to us, what are we hearing? And yes, the reflection on who am I in this season?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Who am I as a pastor, as a priest, as a spiritual leader? Who am I to be for these folks at this time and be true to what I sense calling? So it may require some of us to reexamine what was I called to do then
mm-hmm.
and what am I called to do today? And I hear that in my community. I
mm-hmm.
right. We hear people shifting. I just recently learned the former president of Memphis Theological Seminary.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. J. Earhart Brown
mm-hmm.
posted, he retired, he stepped away from
uh-huh.
the church, and now is a 18-wheeler truck driver.
Really?
Right?
Wow.
And I got a message saying, did you know Jay was doing this? And
wow.
I was like, no, but I think this is the coolest thing in the world,
yeah.
right? Because we grew up if it was your preacher, they were going to live that way and die that
exactly.
way.
Exactly.
Right?
That's right.
A whole other life. I got something else I can do.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think it's really wonderful. I don't think young people going in the seminary today are expecting to come out, pastor's church, and be there 40, 50 years.
No, it's a whole new landscape.
It's a whole
landscape.
Other world. They don't even think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Yeah. Well, our time is drawing to a close.
Oh, is this
what a fabulous conversation. I wonder, Roz, in this season of transition and new possibilities and new expectations, what is giving you a sense of hope and encouragement for the future? Because I really hear in your voice excitement.
I am.
This is not something that I don't want to say it's not scaring you, but if it is, that fear is tempered
mm-hmm.
by excitement and anticipation.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It has been a long, hard journey to this level of excitement right now.
Yeah.
Right? I said on Sunday in the sermon I preached, there was a season where there's this lovely image of a little bird on a fence, head bowed, and the storm is just crashing in on it.
Yeah.
And the caption says, every now and then, you just have to bow. When you're in a storm,
yeah.
you just have to bow your head, pray, and weather the
right.
storm. And yet, the thing that has blessed me is that I've said to myself, I've had several funny little things, but I say to myself now, it's going to be okay. And even if it's not okay, it's still going to be okay.
Yep.
Right? Because yep. I follow one who says that I came to give you life, life abundantly, but that my faith says that there's life now and life to come.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless of whether where I find myself, right, and I affirm that daily, I look for ways. I do Hartman on CBS told you put 10 pennies in your pocket and you take one out and put the other and you count a blessing all day long.
Yeah.
So I do all of these things to reaffirm that I have come through. I'm 59. I can look back and say, like folks say, all the things that tried to kill me, they didn't.
That's
they
right.
Win. So I'm still here.
Yep. Yep.
And then I just see, I guess maybe at the core is what I see in Jesus is someone who could live through dark of dark and then come out finding light and life and bringing others with him along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has strengthened my faith, refined my faith. And then I guess there's a part of me, Bishop Phoebe, that likes to play in the mud.
Yeah.
Right. So when it's this, when you have the opportunity just to rebuild something completely.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. I don't have to keep patching this.
Right.
No, I can start over. I can get done. You know, this is exciting. So I'm, and then opportunities confirmed when I need something. And Wesley House was there for us in a season.
Yeah.
Barth House is now for us.
Yeah.
Those are signs along the way that God says, yeah, keep going. I'll tell you when you don't need to. And that's, that to me is church and faith and community in this season for us. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for this conversation. Continued blessings in your ministry and the many hats that you wear. And I'm sure that this conversation is going to continue, right?
That's right. I think so, too. Very much so. I'm very honored to have been here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. WYXR is supported by Shell Days Music Festival, presented by Mempho, April 21st and 22nd at Overton Park Shell. Shell Days will feature 2 days of music with Trampled by Turtles, Southern Avenue, Leftover Salmon, Neil Francis, Paul Thorne, and Bailey Bigger. More information at memphopresents.com.
Thank you for this episode of Faithfully Memphis. Just a reminder that you can hear us anywhere you listen to podcasts, including Apple Music and Spotify. So we encourage you not only to listen, but to subscribe and to like us and to give us comments about additional topics that you would like to see covered. So we hope that you have enjoyed this first conversation about the future of the church, which will continue in the month of January, February, and March. And until next Thursday, stay safe and stay positive.